The Statesboro City Council meeting on February 18, 2025, covered a range of issues, including public recognitions, development concerns, and a debate over the suspension of a local massage parlor's business license. The meeting began with Carrie Melton of United Way presenting the city with an award for its outstanding fundraising efforts. Statesboro's employees led the top United Way employee campaign, raising $50,756 to support local families, children, and individuals in need. Melton praised the city's commitment to community impact, recognizing both leadership and employees for their generosity. During public comments, Cole Davis and Helen Roscoe raised concerns over stormwater runoff from a proposed housing development off Easy Road. Davis cited past flooding issues caused by nearby development on Beasley Road, urging the city to enforce better stormwater regulations. Roscoe echoed his concerns, asking for clarity on stormwater provisions, accountability for enforcement, and a designated city contact for property damage complaints. Both emphasized the need for responsible growth that protects existing homeowners. One of the most contentious topics was the suspension of Lisa's Therapeutic Massages business license due to allegations of illegal activity. An undercover operation resulted in two arrests, leading to an initial two-week suspension of the license. Attorney Michael Klassens, representing the owner, argued that his client had immediately fired the employee in question and had no prior violations. He criticized the lack of direct evidence against the owner and questioned the fairness of the suspension. The council was divided, with council members John Riggs and Sherry Barr supporting a two-week suspension, while Mayor Jonathan McCaller, Councilwoman Tangi Johnson, and Councilwoman Paulette Chavers voted to suspend the license until the court case is resolved. With the mayor's tie-breaking vote, the motion passed 3-2, meaning Lisa's Therapeutic Massage will remain closed until a final court decision is made. The council approved a variance request for Richard Williams to continue operating a vehicle repair shop at 1321 Northside Drive East. However, a request from Whitfield Signs to install a 520.5-square-foot sign at 152 Northside Drive East was deferred after concerns arose about the actual size and accuracy of the proposed design. The council approved a preliminary subdivision plat for a 43.31-acre single-family residential development on Beasley Road, allowing Boro Land Consultants and Burbank Point LLC to move forward with planning. A key item on the agenda was Resolution 2025-05, which amended the fiscal year 2025 budget to recognize new revenue sources, including settlement funds, opioid settlement funds, grants, and TSPLOST funds. City Manager Charles Penny explained that the changes also included reallocating funds from the old PATH register and ensuring that ARPA funds were fully committed before the deadline. The amendment, which also covered the reallocation of funds for a new fire station purchase, was approved unanimously. The council also awarded a contract to Gilbert & Associates for grant writing and administration services related to the FY 2025 Community Development Block Grant. Additionally, they approved $47,136 in TSPLOST funds for the purchase of four new transit buses to meet increasing ridership demand and reduce wait times. Another contract was awarded to Hero Hauler LLC for solid waste collection management software, aimed at improving route optimization, billing efficiency, and customer service for waste collection. Mayor Pro Temp Sherry Barr presented the findings of an ethics investigation committee following a citizen complaint. The committee, which included John Riggs and Tangi Johnson, found two cases of council members failing to properly recuse themselves from votes. The first case involved Councilwoman Paulette Chavers, who voted on an Agape Worship Center item despite her brother receiving $5,000 annually from the organization. The second case involved Councilwoman Ginny Hendley, who did not formally recuse herself from an alcohol license vote, despite holding an alcohol license herself. In both cases, the committee ruled that the violations were unintentional and recommended reviewing the ethics and recusal process at the city council retreat. The council accepted the committee's recommendations unanimously. City Manager Charles Penny also provided updates on key city matters. He emphasized the importance of SPLOST funding, reminding citizens that the vote will take place on March 18. The Spring Concert Series lineup was announced, featuring 6 performances on Thursdays from April to June, with acts such as The Tams, The Breakfast Club, and Superfly. Penny also recognized Director of Public Works Steve Hotchkiss, who will retire in June 2025 after 35 years of service. He credited the city's updated retirement plan for allowing Hotchkiss to retire this year rather than working an additional year. A major topic of discussion was the ongoing fire district agreement negotiations with Bullock County. Penny explained that the county had initially voted to cancel the agreement effective July 1, 2025, but later signaled interest in renegotiation. He strongly recommended against a proposed split of the fire district, emphasizing that Statesboro Fire Department currently provides Class 2 fire protection for a 96-square-mile area, with 30% of its budget funded by the county. The council passed a motion directing Penny to inform the county that they are willing to continue to provide fire service under the current arrangement for 1 year. This would give both the city and county more time to negotiation and prepare for the transition. During public comments, Ainsley Smith of the Georgia Southern ROTC Eagle Battalion invited the community to participate in the 11th Annual Freedom Run on April 19. This year's event will honor the late Master Sergeant Christopher Decker, a former ROTC instructor who passed away in 2024. The event will raise funds for the Master Sergeant Christopher Decker Memorial Scholarship, supporting future leaders in the ROTC program. Additionally, Marcus Toole shared his experiences from attending Habitat on the Hill, a national advocacy event for Habitat for Humanity. Accompanied by Councilmember Tangi Johnson and Bullock County Commissioners Ray Mosley and Anthony Simmons, Toole met with legislative assistants and attended policy sessions focused on housing and tax issues. He encouraged other council members to attend future Habitat on the Hill events. Mayor McCaller reminded the public that the State of the City address will take place at the Averitt Center for the Arts on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Sherry Barr invited the community to attend Statesboro's Arbor Day celebration, hosted by the City of Statesboro and the Tree Board. The event will take place at the food bank and will feature a mini-festival at 4 p.m. Attendees are encouraged to bring canned goods or a bag of rice for a food drive. As part of the celebration, the Girl Scouts will participate in a tree planting ceremony to promote environmental awareness and community engagement. With no further business, the council adjourned the meeting. To see the meeting agenda packet, click here. Continue scrolling down to see the in-depth coverage of the Statesboro City Council meeting. Call to order, Mayor Jonathan McCaller. Invocation and Pledge of Allegiance, Councilmember Tangi Johnson. Carrie Melton of United Way presented the City of Statesboro with an award for its exceptional contribution to the organization's annual fundraising campaign. This year, the city's employees led the way in community impact, becoming the top employee United Way campaign in the area. A total of 184 city employees raised an impressive $50,756, demonstrating their dedication not only to their daily responsibilities but also to the well-being of the community they serve. Melton emphasized that this generosity will directly support families, children, and individuals who rely on United Way's programs and services. This speaks volumes about the commitment of the city's leadership and employees, Melton said. Their generosity will make a real difference in the lives of those who count on United Way. Melton expressed gratitude to everyone involved in the campaign, praising the city's teamwork and dedication to giving back. Public comments, agenda items. During public comments, Cole Davis and Helen Roscoe voiced concerns about stormwater runoff from the proposed housing development off Easy Road, agenda item 8. While both support responsible growth, they worry about flooding risks affecting nearby homes. Davis cited past issues with Bel Air East on Beasley Road, where clear cutting and development led to severe flooding on his property and 5 others. He criticized the lack of city accountability and urged officials to ensure proper stormwater management before approving more projects. Roscoe, a Georgia Southern geography professor, agreed, asking the city for clarity on development provisions, accountability for enforcement, and a point of contact for property damage complaints. She stressed the need for proactive planning to avoid future financial and safety risks. Both urged the city to protect existing homeowners by enforcing regulations and ensuring new developments do not worsen flooding issues. Approved 4. Consideration of a motion to approve the consent agenda. Approval of minutes. The 4th of February 2025 Council Minutes. The 4th of February 2025 Executive Session Minutes. Suspended 5. Consideration of a motion to revoke, suspend, or maintain the massage parlor license. Lisa's Therapeutic Massage. Allegations of illegal activity under City Ordinances 18-141 and 18-143. On November 14, 2024, Statesboro Police Department conducted an undercover operation at subject business. Chunying Hu and Joshong Lee were both arrested on prostitution-related charges. On February 4, 2025, Council voted 3-2 to suspend the license for 2 weeks pending final Council decision on February 18. The Statesboro City Council voted 3-2 to suspend the business license for Lisa's Therapeutic Massage until the outcome of a pending court case. The decision followed a heated discussion about allegations of illegal activity at the business. Attorney Michael Klassens, representing the owner, argued that the suspension was unfair, as the business owner immediately fired the employee accused of wrongdoing and had no prior violations. He emphasized that the complaints leading to the investigation were several years old and unrelated to the current owner. He also noted that no arrests were made during the undercover investigation and that there was no direct evidence linking the owner to any illegal activity. Council members debated whether to extend the suspension for 2 more weeks or keep the business closed until the court case is resolved. Council members John Riggs and Sherry Barr supported a 2-week extension, while Mayor Jonathan McCaller, Councilwoman Tanji Johnson, and Councilwoman Paulette Chavers voted to keep the license suspended until the legal process is complete. With the mayor's tie-breaking vote, the motion passed, meaning Lisa's Therapeutic Massage will remain closed until a final court decision is made. APPORVED 6. Public hearing and consideration of a motion to approve. Application v. the 25th of January 01 Applicant. Richard Williams Request. Variance from Section 2.2.9 of the Unified Development Code to continue operating a vehicle repair shop in the MX, mixed-use, district. Location, 1321 Northside Drive East, Tax Parcel #S39000970000. Richard Williams requests a variance from Section 2.2.9 of the Unified Development Code in order to continue operating a vehicle repair shop in the MX, mixed-use, district at 1321 Northside Drive East, Tax Parcel #S39000970000, Defford 7. Public hearing and consideration of a motion to approve. Application v. the 25th of January 03 Applicant. Whitfield Signs Request. Variance from Table 2.5.3-C of the Unified Development Code for a 520.5 square feet sign. Location, 152 Northside Drive East, Tax Parcel #MS84000003A001. Whitfield Signs requests a variance from Table 2.5.3-C of the Unified Development Code in order to place a 520.5 square foot sign on a building located at 152 Northside Drive East, Tax Parcel #MS84000003A001. The council voted to differ the request so that the Planning and Zoning Committee could re-review with accurate information. While it does say a 520.27 square foot sign, the design was in the 400 square foot range. Approved 8. Consideration of a motion to approve. Application sub the 25th of January 02 Applicant. Boro Land Consultants and Burbank Point Request. Preliminary subdivision plat for an R15, single-family residential, subdivision on 43.31 acres. Location, Beasley Road, Tax Parcel #MS91000100002. Boro Land Consultants and Burbank Point requests a preliminary subdivision plat for an R15, single-family residential, subdivision on approximately 43.31 acres of property on Beasley Road, Tax Parcel #MS91000100002, Approved 9. Consideration of a motion to approve Resolution 2025-05 Second Amendment to the FY 2025 Budget, Adjusting Appropriations and Revenue Anticipations. City Manager Charles Penny presented Resolution 2025-05, a motion to approve the Second Amendment to the Fiscal Year 2025 Budget. The amendment ensures that new revenue sources, including settlement funds, opioid settlement funds, grants, and TSPLOST funds, are formally recognized within the city's financial plan. Penny explained that the adjustment also includes funds from the old PATH register and key reallocations made in December to ensure American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, funds were fully committed before the deadline. One specific change involved shifting the purchase of land for a fire station from the supply fund to SPLOST funds, as it was an eligible expense under that category. Following Penny's explanation, Mayor Jonathan McCaller opened the floor for council discussion. With no objections, a motion to approve the budget amendment was made and seconded. The motion passed unanimously, approved 10. Consideration of a motion to approve a contract award, Gilbert & Associates Purpose, Grant Writing and Administration Services for the FY 2025 Community Development Block Grant. After meeting with the Georgia Department of Community Affairs, DCA, as a part of GICH senior year, staff solicited a request for qualifications for grant administration services in order to apply for the Community Development Block Grant. Following receipt of a single submittal on January 24, 2025, the City Evaluation Committee reviewed the proposal and have selected Gilbert & Associates for recommendation of award. Due to the single bid, DCA must approve the sole source request. APPORVED 11. Consideration of a motion to approve funding, Coastal Regional Commission amount, $47,136 purpose, Rural Transit Grant matching funds for 4 additional transit buses, funded by TSPLOST, to get the equivalent desired capacity for SAT ridership. The city has requested to add additional buses to meet the capacity that was included in the city's transit implementation plan. This expansion is due to increased customer demand and increased TSPLOST funding for transit services. As required by the Georgia Department of Transportation, GDOT, the local match must be paid up front to secure the necessary funding before proceeding with vehicle procurement. Adding additional buses will reduce wait times and increase ridership and efficacy, approved 12. Consideration of a motion to approve a contract award, Hero Hauler LLC amount, $48,390 purpose, solid waste collection management software, funded by solid waste collection operating revenue. The city is experiencing an increase in development and subsequent population growth as evidenced by the number of and size of permitted developments within the last year. The Public Works and Engineering Department has been monitoring the rate of development to create a plan to expand its services to all new residents in an effective and efficient manner. One of the needs identified by the department is to add a solid waste operation management software which will provide for an efficient and effective expansion of commercial, residential, yard waste, and roll-off services to existing and future customers. This software will centralize all customer account information, route optimization, streamline billing and allow for automated service request. With this software, staff will be able to oversee and promptly adjust routes and optimize response times. Additionally, customer requests and complaints can be monitored, assessed, assigned and completed in a timely manner. 13. Other business from City Council. During the business from City Council portion of the meeting, Mayor Pro Temp Sherry Barr presented the findings of an ethics investigation committee appointed by Mayor Jonathan McCaller in response to a citizen complaint. The committee, composed of Sherry Barr, John Riggs, and Tanji Johnson, reviewed 2 cases where council members failed to properly recuse themselves from votes. The first case involved Councilwoman Paulette Chavers, who voted on an Agape Worship Center matter on January 28, 2025, despite her brother, Donald Chavers, receiving over $5,000 annually from the organization. This vote violated Section 2-125 of the city's ethics code. City Attorney Kane Smith had initially advised Chavers that she could vote on the item, but after further review, he reversed his guidance. Chavers withdrew her vote via email the following day, though the motion still passed 3-0, meaning her vote did not affect the outcome. The committee determined the violation was unintentional and inconsequential and recommended that the complaint be dismissed as moot. They also suggested that the ethics and recusal process be reviewed at the next city council retreat, that the city attorney review agendas for potential conflicts, and that council members consult legal counsel on conflicts before meetings. The second case involved Councilwoman Ginny Hendley, who failed to properly recuse herself from voting on an alcohol license matter in the same January 28, 2025, meeting. Hendley, who holds an alcohol license herself, had previously agreed not to vote on such issues. While she did not explicitly cast a vote, her lack of recusal resulted in her being counted as a yes vote. The motion ultimately passed 4-0, meaning her vote did not change the outcome. The committee again determined the violation was unintentional and inconsequential and recommended that the ethics and recusal process be reviewed at the city council retreat. They also advised that the city attorney continue to review agendas for conflicts and that council members proactively seek legal guidance on potential conflicts before meetings. After presenting the findings, Mayor Pro Temp Barr made a motion to formally accept the committee's recommendations, which was seconded and passed unanimously. Barr invited the public to attend Statesboro's Arbor Day celebration, hosted by the City of Statesboro and the Tree Board. The event will take place at the food bank and will feature a mini-festival at 4 p.m. Attendees are encouraged to bring canned goods or a bag of rice for a food drive. As part of the celebration, a tree planting ceremony will be held, with participation from the Girl Scouts. Mayor Jonathan McCaller reminded the public that the State of the City address will take place on Tuesday at 7 p.m. The event will be held at the Averitt Center for the Arts, and McCaller encouraged community members to attend and stay informed about the city's progress and future initiatives. 14. City Manager's comments. During his remarks, City Manager Charles Penny highlighted several key topics, including the importance of SPLOST funding, the upcoming spring concert series, and ongoing discussions regarding the fire district agreement with Bullock County. Penny emphasized that the Chamber of Commerce has publicly voiced support for SPLOST and reminded citizens that the SPLOST referendum vote will take place on March 18. He stressed the importance of these funds in purchasing essential equipment such as police cars, fire trucks, and other city resources. Additionally, Penny announced the spring concert series lineup, which will feature 6 performances at 7 p.m. on Thursdays from April to June. The scheduled acts include April 10, the Tams, April 17, the Breakfast Club, May 22, the Royals, May 29, Liquid Pleasure, June 12, We Got the Beat, June 26, Superfly, a 90s tribute band. He also took a moment to recognize the Director of Public Works Steve Hotchkiss, a 35-year veteran of the City of Statesboro, who has announced his retirement in June 2025. Penny credited the City Council's retirement plan adjustments for enabling Hodges to retire this year instead of needing to work an additional year. Penny also addressed the ongoing fire district agreement negotiations with Bullock County, reading a prepared statement into the record. He explained that the county initially voted on December 3, 2024, to cancel the fire district agreement effective July 1, 2025. However, the county later clarified that it was open to renegotiation rather than a full termination of services. The proposal from Bullock County Fire Chief suggested splitting the fire district, but Penny recommended against accepting this plan, emphasizing that the Statesboro Fire Department has served the fire district for over 47 years and currently covers a 96-square-mile area, with Statesboro itself being only 16.1 square miles. The funding from the fire district accounts for 30% of the city's fire department budget and allows for Class 2 fire protection services. Penny's recommendation to the council was to reject the county's proposed split of the fire district, offer to continue providing fire services for one final year under the current terms, support Bullock County in building its own fire stations in the fire district, allow for automatic aid assistance for at least one additional year to aid in the transition, Consider negotiating automatic aid beyond 2027 if needed. The council voted to not accept Mr. Penny's recommendations in full but instead to make a counteroffer to the county to continue the current agreement for 1 year. That would give both the city and the county time to continue negotiations and prepare for the transition. The city will revisit the issue at its March retreat, where city officials will assess the financial and operational impact of the county's takeover. Meanwhile, the Bullock County Commission will have to determine whether to accept the city's counteroffer or proceed with plans to assume full responsibility for the fire district in 2025. 15. Public comments, General Ainsley Smith, representing the Georgia Southern ROTC Eagle Battalion, addressed the council to invite the community to the 11th Annual Freedom Run on Saturday, April 19. Smith was joined by fellow cadets to highlight the significance of this year's event, which will honor the late Master Sergeant Christopher Decker, a beloved instructor who tragically passed away last March. Master Sergeant Decker served as the senior military science instructor at Georgia Southern beginning in July 2020. Smith emphasized that ROTC instructors serve as more than teachers, they are mentors who shape future leaders by instilling values of integrity, discipline, and hard work. The Freedom Run will help fundraise for the Master Sergeant Christopher Decker Memorial Scholarship, ensuring that his legacy of leadership and service continues. Smith also highlighted the Eagle Battalion's commitment to community service, mentioning their involvement in local events such as the Christmas Parade, blood drives, and Feeding the Borough. She encouraged the city and its residents to support the event through sponsorship, participation in the 5K or 10K races, or by spreading the word. We believe no better example could be set for organizations and businesses in our area than by coming together to honor a man who made a lasting impact on so many young lives, Smith said. More than financial support, we ask the community to show up for his family and our Eagle Battalion family. Marcus Toole addressed the council regarding his recent participation in Habitat on the Hill, a national advocacy event for Habitat for Humanity. He was accompanied by Councilmember Tangi Johnson, as well as Bullock County Commissioners Ray Mosley and Anthony Simmons. Toole shared that the event included policy sessions and discussions on tax-related matters, though he chose not to go into detail given the late hour of the meeting. He also highlighted two pieces of federal legislation that could positively impact Statesboro, noting that he had already provided Olympia Gaines with the relevant information to pass along to congressional representatives. The delegation also engaged with legislative assistants and had the opportunity to see Senator Raphael Warnock in person. Toole encouraged council members who have not yet attended Habitat on the Hill to consider participating in the future, calling it a valuable learning experience. 16. Consideration of a motion to enter into executive session. Discussion on personnel matters, real estate, and/or potential litigation. OCGA 50143-B. No motion was taken during executive session. 17. Consideration of a motion to adjourn.